is John chapter 15, beginning with verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What I want to do in this brief time with you is to give you what you need to get back to the fire that will increase your temperature. I want to give you what God has given us so that we can know the fire and the intensity of the heat that comes from the very heart of Jesus Christ. That's what's in this text. If you want to be a flame burning for Jesus Christ, this is the text you need to go to this morning, because it will ignite you if you follow what Jesus teaches us. It's safe to say that Christianity has been confused with religion, which is properly defined as a belief system in some form of deity. Others say, well, religion is traditional, formal, ritualistic things that we do in order to serve God. And for a good many Christians, their faith has been reduced simply to going to church and not doing really bad things. That's what they think Christianity is. And if you're really spiritual Christians, you'll read a Bible chapter a day and say your prayers. Formalistic, ritualistic, and lifeless. No wonder we're in the shape we're in. If that's how people view Christianity, you couldn't have missed it more. So this kind of thinking has stolen the reality right out of Christianity. The wonderful dynamic that makes Christianity amazingly different from all other religions is so sadly missing for so many. I want to put it back into it this morning. That's what we want to do. Your Lord intended for you and He to be intimately acquainted, that both of you be so close on a deep personal level. He doesn't like you being lukewarm. It hurts Him more than it hurts you, although the consequences for you are worse. He doesn't want you just to be one theologically with Him. Oh yeah, we are one with Christ. Doctrinally, we mentally, theologically, we understand that. Dear friend, He wants that to be a reality. Why would He die for you if He didn't want you? It makes no more sense for a man to propose to a wife if he doesn't care about her, if he doesn't want to be with her. Jesus proposed by letting His blood flow for us so that we might have intimacy with Him. So, I want to come against this traditional concept of Christianity, because that's exactly what this parable does. Jesus identifies Himself with propositional truth called the Word of God. That's what He says here in verse 7. We talked about this last week. A proposition is a statement that can be proven to be either true or false. We just hosted the Real Truth Matters conference yesterday, because real truth matters. And Jesus is the truth. Now we know that, but the main way this truth, Jesus, is communicated is by words. Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching is passed to us from one person to another by communication, the expression of words. Therefore, relationship with Christ must include your Bibles, because it's propositional truth that God has given, written for our understanding. It has to be the Word of God. Listen to what He says. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You can ask what you desire, and it should be done for you. Jesus says the Word of God has to be involved with your praying. Effectual prayer has to include the Word of God. That's the fact we established last week in this first half of this verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Jesus says that I and my word are the same. Because my word is a perfect expression of who I am. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. Verse 7, he changes the pronouns to instead of saying abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and my words abide in you. So the conclusion of the matter is simple. You cannot abide in Jesus without letting the Word of God being superintended and administered by the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. This whole parable is about how the disciples and we could relate with Christ even though He's not physically visible anymore. And that the way you do that is through the Holy Spirit. Here's the key. It's just not about reading your Bible. It's about the Holy Spirit taking those words and making them alive in you, mind, heart, and will, so it's as if Christ is right there with you, because He really is. That's what this whole thing's about. In fact, look at what Jesus said just preceding the parable in John 14, 26. The parable of the vine shows us how Jesus is going to interact with us. Even after He's gone, through the Holy Spirit. He said that Jesus would be directly involved in our lives through His words. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. If you're going to interact with Jesus, you've got to do so through the Scripture. So you and I have got to cease looking at this Bible. Now, this is all a repeat from last week. This is a review. You've got to quit looking at this book as if it's something you have to do to make God happy with you. Most of you are still laboring under that mentality. That's what you grew up, if you grew up in church with that mentality, isn't it? How many times did you hear a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, pastor say to you, if you're not reading the Bible every day, shame on you. If you're not reading your Bible every day, you can't be a good Christian. If you're not reading the Bible every day, and it almost becomes as if you can't even have relationship with God. Can't even be saved without reading the Bible every day. That's how you feel. You've got to quit viewing the Bible that way. Some of that stuff was true, but not altogether true. And all we want is the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And here's the truth. This book is more than something for you to do in order to get God happy with you. It is the means by which you have communion with Him. So let me illustrate this one more time. When I get ready to read my Bible, in my quiet time, devotional time, whatever term you want to call it, what I do is I begin with prayer. Actually, early in the morning, because it's 5:30 in the morning, I will read something, a devotional, something real life, whether it be Oswald Chambers. But I do that to get my mind alert before I go to the Word of the Lord. I don't want to waste the Bible getting awake. I'll waste man's words on that. But that gets me thinking, gets me in the right frame of mind. Then I go to my Bible and I do this. You don't have to do it like this. It's not a formula. But it's my way of reminding me that this is more than just reading a few chapters a day to keep the devil away. And so I pray, Father, this is our time. I need You to talk to me. And I need to talk to You. Take Your words and let the Holy Spirit make them come alive in me so that it's not dry, not dull. My heart is not senseless, that I can sense You and Your presence, and that there is something that happens, that there is vitality, a dynamic. Real Christianity can occur between you and me. And I start reading, but I don't just start reading. I read with the mindset that says, okay, carefully look at each word and say, what does this mean? How does this apply? Lord, what did You mean? And I do that. And when I don't do that, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not always faithful. I sometimes forget. For whatever reason, I read and nothing happens. And I'm not talking about mystical experiences. I'm not talking about feeling. I'm talking about there is a reality. And then there is not a reality when I don't do that. Now, that was last week. When that begins to happen, prayer can now begin to happen. And your prayer life will take off. When you start abiding in the Word like that, when you begin to deal with this book as if it's a mirror, and there you are in Jesus looking at each other, and this is the mirror, then, my dear friend, it will be prayer will no longer be a chore, but the expression of your delight. Prayer will become a pleasure to you, not your dread. So I want to direct your attention, first of all, to abiding and prayer. Abiding and prayer. When you let the Word of Christ dwell in you or abide in you, then you will find prayer not as difficult as you may now do. According to Jesus, our prayer life is dependent upon abiding. Not just answers to prayers. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the very ability to pray, the very ability to pray is dependent upon abiding. Would you not agree with me that prayer is the most difficult thing you have to do in the Christian life? What Jesus has said here will revolutionize your prayer life. You can't go deeper in Christ. You cannot know Him better. You cannot become more like Him without prayer. And you cannot pray without abiding in the Word. Why? Because abiding in Christ or the Word is the source of prayer. Now notice His words. His language is very definitive, if not strategic. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask. Did you hear that? You will ask. Prayer is not just an option available to a person who's abiding in the Word and the Word's abiding in him. It will happen. You will pray. That's what He's saying here. When you're interacting with the Word, you pray. The source of prayer will not be determination. It will be not trying real hard. It will be the indwelling Spirit of God within you interacting with this book. That's what the promise is all about. That's what He's been given to us to do. The words of the Bible become an artesian well. Never stop flowing. They will always supply a supplicating heart. A heart that pants after God. The man, the woman who's abiding in the Word and the Word is abiding in him cannot help but pray. Wouldn't you like to have that happen to you? You can't help but pray? I'm giving you freedom here. This will take the burden off. Please get this. You can, with the determination and grit and discipline, you can pray, but it's not what God wants. He wants your heart panting for Him, hungry, thirsty for Him. And the only way that can take a lukewarm and even cold heart and create heat and passion and thirst and hunger is this book when the Spirit gets involved with it. Now, how does the Word of God become the source of prayer? Some of you think that prayer is more suited to certain people who are more spiritual than you, as if spirituality was in the DNA code. Prayer is suited to abiding. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask. It's reflexive of what the Word's doing in your life. Here's why. Because the Word reminds you of the precious promises of God. It tells you of how great a God you serve. It reminds you that everything He's promised, He will do. And your heart will get up and run to Him with anticipation that He will do exactly what He said it He will do. The Word shows you the unbridled power of God. He's the one who parts Red Seas, calls city walls to come tumbling down. He shuts the mouth of lions. He causes dead people to rise again. That's what this book reminds you of. The Word of God, when it becomes internalized, you begin to realize that God is holy, and it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You see Him as He is in the Word, and it's the truth of Scripture that can only break the idols of our hearts that we so often call Jesus Himself. There are many idols in our hearts that we put Jesus' name tag on, but they're not Jesus. And only the Word of God can expose that. You and I are not smart or intuitive enough to do that. Truth and truth alone sets you free, and your freedom is going to be discovered in your ability to pray. The Bible also will remind you of who you are. Again, it acts like a mirror, reflects back to you who you really are, and you see yourself as a branch, and if you are not abiding in the vine, you realize that there's not one fruit you can produce. You remember that apart from grace, you're still a sinner needing much aid from heaven above. But the Christian who's not abiding in the words of Jesus Christ begins to see himself as capable, and pride creeps back into his thinking. Now listen, I am a man that's got great experience with prayerlessness. Speaking from experience as well as from the authority of the Scripture. A man, a woman that is not praying is a man or a woman that doesn't see their need of God. They believe they're capable to do what God requires. But this book reminds me I need Him. I can't do this thing. But the man that doesn't sense his need for God's help is a man that's not on his knees, because he's forgotten what the book has said about himself. And so, the real place to get the fire on your altars burning is you abiding with the Holy Spirit in the Word. Prayer will occur. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. Secondly, Jesus says abiding not only is the fountain, the source of prayer, but it creates the right desires. Jesus continues here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Now, a lot of wrong has come from these words. A lot of people have taken these kinds of words and twisted them to suit the lust of their hearts. However, having said that, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Jesus did say, what you desire. Aren't you struck with that? Doesn't that seem odd? What you desire? Because I remember reading a scripture that says, if I pray according to His desires or His will. Isn't there a verse like that? Yes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. They say, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We're to pray according to God's will, and if we do, He says you'll have what you ask for. Yet in John chapter 15, verse 7, He is saying, ask what you will, you desire. Is that a contradiction? You all say no. See, that's cheating. Cheating. You know He doesn't contradict Himself. But language, face value, says this is a huge contradiction. See, that's part of the problem in your study. Why? Many times you don't get anything out of the Bible because you know there's no contradiction and you just don't even ask any questions. You just keep reading. Stop and say, okay, this does not jive with 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I've got to find out why. It is not a contradiction. You're right. It isn't, because in John 15, 7, He puts a condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. There's a condition there. And that condition tells me that it's the Word of God that shapes, creates godly desires. So the Word of God is a source of our prayer. And it's a source of our praying, not only motivating us to pray, but actually giving us the right things to pray for. And when you pray for the right things, you're going to get what you ask for. Now again, that doesn't mean you can pray for a new car or more money or a new home and you just ask in faith and it's yours. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for those things. You should pray about everything. I read that today or last week. Let your requests be made known to God. In what? Well, he says earlier, in prayer and supplication, in everything. But because you pray in Jesus' name, quoting John 15:7, doesn't mean presto, it's yours. James calls that praying with selfish motives. He calls it actually lustful praying. But when you're in the Word and you're interacting with it, when it becomes reality by the Holy Spirit, just not ink on paper, something's going on internally, that Word is producing in you godly desires, desires that are God-glorifying and spiritually beneficial to you, and those are the promises that are guaranteed to you. Nothing will be withheld from you. Nothing. Let me say it again. Nothing will be withheld from you when you ask things that exalt and honor God. And you pray like this verse says, which leads me to my final thought. Abiding and answered prayer. How they two go together now. Abiding and answered prayer. Our Lord says that abiding has an effect. It will motivate you to pray. It will create the desires that are God's will. But thirdly, it will lead to answered prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Answered prayer is the result of abiding. Which means answered prayer is the fruit of abiding. Here Jesus specifically answers the question, what fruit is he talking about? Here it is. Answered prayer. In fact, later in chapter 15, verse 16, he says it again. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Twice he says it. One of the fruits that you will bear as you are abiding in me is answered prayer. So, here's what Jesus is saying. The Father is glorified when you pray according to his will. That blesses him. But he's also glorified when he gives you the prayer request, the answer to for which you have prayed. He's glorified in giving you the answer. Why then do you suppose the Lord will not want to answer your prayers? Why is it that most of our prayers are prayed from a position of unbelief rather than faith? Look at what he says. Answered prayer is the fruit that Jesus has been advocating in this parable. It's the privilege that he grants to his children. Only to his children. Only to his children. And only his children that are abiding. He doesn't walk up to a man on the street lying in a drunken stupor and say to him, ask what you desire, ask what you want, and it'll be done for you. No, no. This is a promise extended to children, children that are abiding. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What an incentive to pray. There's no excuse for not praying. It's almost like Jesus is saying, come. I know we make fun of people who make Jesus out to be this big Santa Claus in the sky with his little bag of goodies and he just indiscriminately just giving to people all the time. That's not quite biblical. But again, I heed, give you warning, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Listen to what Psalm 84:11 says. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Did you hear that? To those who walk uprightly. There is a condition, the same condition Jesus gives, John 15:7. Abide in me and my words abide in you.
He won't withhold any good thing. He's jealous for your trust. And He wants to display His generosity to us if we would only pray according to His will as a result of abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. I want you to listen to the Apostle John, because he's linking here in 1 John 3 and 22. He's going to link abiding, prayer, answered prayer, and one other ingredient we haven't talked about, but we're just now starting to introduce. And then after that, I will close. I want you to look at 1 John 3, 22 through 24. The Lord rejoices in His generosity to those who believe in Him and do as He commands. Did you hear me? Do as He commands. You do what He commands because you love Him. You will see your prayers answered. You'll see them. Because if you love Him and are obeying Him, you're going to ask the things that He's putting in your heart. Because He's generous and wants to display that generosity to His children. 1 John 3:22. And whatever. I love the Word of God. Oh, I love the words of God. I love this word, whatever. There's no exclusion. There's no addendum. There's no fine print. There's no disclaimer. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see, obedience is not because I have to. Obedience is because I enjoy pleasing Him. My heart breaks because people are sitting on pews keeping commandments that they don't enjoy and have no pleasure doing. But oh, the children of God that love Him do His commandments, and they are the ones that receive whatever they ask. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. Now, he who keeps His commandments and abides in Him, and He in Him. We're back to abiding. Isn't that strange? Isn't that odd that we should have coincidental that we should stumble upon this? I know He's the same author of John, the Gospel, John 15, our text. But isn't this amazing? Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him. There's a big clue. You say you're dull of understanding. You're not real smart. Here you go. Let me spell it out for you. John is saying that if you abide in Him, you are obeying Him, which means obeying Him is abiding in Him. Is that simple enough? Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him, and by this we know He abides in us by the Spirit whom He's given us. You see, He does it. He wraps it all up. He takes the whole parable and wraps it up right there. The parable is about this. The Spirit of God is in you, and He is to interact with you, and you with Him. And when that happens, you obey, which means you are abiding, and you get what you ask for. Answered prayer is directly proportionate to obedience. And obedience is determined by the Word of God. And as we've already shown, obedience is connected to meditation, thinking about the Word, fascination with the Word, love of the Word of God, because the Word is a written propositional expression of Jesus. I would say we don't see many prayers answered simply because we don't feel
and want the things that God wants. You're not seeing the prayers answered that you want because you don't feel and want the things God wants. We don't know what God wants, His will, concerning the many things we pray about, and we don't know them because we're not well acquainted with Him. And we're not well acquainted with Him because we don't spend much time with Him. We're not listening to His heart revealed to us in His Word. We don't know Him as we could and should because we don't spend the adequate time to interact with Him. And so simply, abiding in Christ and He in you is the two of you interacting with each other on the deepest personal level. That, my friend, is the secret to prayer. That is the power of prayer. Amen.